Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, the podcast that fights heartburn for a place in your heart. I'm your host, Pete Pollock, and this week on the show, The Godfather, a classic American film from, well, my youth. I remember when this came out, and I guess I have a lot to say about it. Maybe I do. We'll find out more coming up right after the end of the song. This is it's an epic film. That to me that's the first word that comes to mind when you watch this, and it's a sweeping epic. If you're looking for the kind of a movie that's going to be a gritty, realistic portrayal of what life in the mafia is like on a day-to-day basis, you're probably going to want to look elsewhere. Because I've never been in the mafia, obviously, maybe not so obviously, but trust me on that. I've never been in the mafia. I have no ties to organized crime that I'm willing to admit to in a court of law. But I strongly suspect that The Godfather is not a gritty, realistic portrayal of day-to-day life. Now, having said that, and I will say also, just as a sidebar, and I don't want to do two movie reviews at the same time, but I have to say that if you're looking for the gritty, realistic portrayal, I strongly suspect that's to be found in a little film called Goodfellas, which we're not going to review anytime soon because it didn't win the Oscar in the year it came out, which I consider to be something of a crime. But having said that, it is... probably everything that The Godfather isn't, except for long. They're both very long films. So getting back to The Godfather, the interesting take on this is that the way I look at it, Francis Ford Coppola, who directed it, and Mario Puzo, who wrote it, they kind of give you the feeling that these mafiosos, these people in, it all takes place at the upper echelon of the mafia, the some of the highest levels, and these people are like royalty, and that's how they film it. It's really almost you could change the era and the sets and probably a little bit of the dialogue, tweak the dialogue, and you'd have a movie about royalty in some other era, you know, whether it's the British royal family or France or wherever. You know, you'd have a film that really touches it. You've got all these different levels of people. Some of them are sucking up to the king or the Don in this film. You've got people who are maneuvering for position around him. You've got foreign leaders. They're meeting almost as heads of state, and they're having peace treaties and making deals. And it really does come across like a film about royalty. So the question is, are these people royalty? Well, I don't know any of these people, so I really can't answer that question. Does it make for an interesting film? Yes, it definitely does do that. So realism aside, it's gripping. And it's the story of, it's the story of the Corleone family, but largely it's the story of Don Vito Corleone, played by Marlon Brando, and his son Michael. And Michael takes place right after World War II. Michael's a war hero. He's coming back. He's got his dress uniform on. He's going to his sister's wedding. And you know, he brings his girlfriend. And he's clearly the good kid in the family. You know, he's the one who's not involved in the family business. Let's put it that way. Involved in the family business is Sonny, played by James Caan. And Tom, who's not literally a brother to them, but is effectively a brother to them. He grew up with them in the house, and he's not Italian, but he's their lawyer. And so the Don raised him up as his own son, and he becomes the lawyer and the counselor to the leaders. Surrounding them, you've got a great cast. Let me just say. Not the least of whom is Fish. from the show Fish. And that's Abe Vigoda. I know his name's not Fish, but I first saw him as Fish on that. It was on Barney Miller, and then he had his own TV show. And that's how I think of him. And he's a genius. He's a great actor, I think. Just a lot of fun to watch. And he's one of the guys who's kind of maneuvering for position around everybody. You've got a guy who shows up in the plot, and he wants to make a deal to have the Corleone family help move his drugs. And the Don is not too sure if he wants to get involved in the drug trade. He's got gambling, he's got prostitution, he's got all the other stuff going on, but he feels that those are the kinds of things that the police are gonna keep looking past. Somebody gambles a little bit, somebody, picks up a hooker. That's, the police can kind of overlook that, take a bribe or whatever, and go on about their merry way and not really feel like they've done anything, horrible to society by doing that. But if they're overlooking drugs, he feels that he's going to lose all the influence that he may have over senators and other political leaders and the police and everything else. So he doesn't really want to get involved in the drug trade. Well, this sets up the whole rest of the movie, really, where this guy is making attempts on Don Corleone's life. And I don't want to give too much away if you haven't seen this movie. And odds are you probably have, because for crying out loud, even I've seen this movie. And I haven't seen most of the, which is why I started doing this. I hadn't seen a lot of the Oscar winners. But I've seen this. Everybody's seen this, right? But I still don't want to give it away. I don't want to give away a spoiler here. But that's what starts to get Michael drawn in when his father is, when they're trying to kill his father. Michael, good boy Michael, starts to get drawn into the family plot. And we'll leave it at that. That all takes place in probably the first hour. And in the second hour and the third hour, you've got a lot of stuff going on. You've got trips to Italy. You really can feel like this is a... You really get the feeling, I did anyway, that this is a book. And it is a book. But you really get the feeling like, a book is can be an enormous undertaking and there's a lot of depth. And then you trim it down to a 2 or 3 hour movie and you got to cut a lot of stuff out in order to make it play as a 2 or 3 hour movie. Everybody knows this. Well, you can really get the idea that there's probably a lot of stuff going on in the book that they had to slice out. And that doesn't mean it's lacking anything. It's really not. But you kind of feel like if you read the book, you'd probably get even more depth and more into it and more understanding of some of these minor characters that float in and out of the plot and whatnot. So my verdict on this one is definitely buy it. It's in my opinion, my personal favorite mafia movie, if we're going to call that a subgenre of films. Maybe it's a whole genre. I don't know. There's a lot of mafia movies out there. How many movies does it take to make a genre? Anybody know? I don't know. But my personal favorite is still Goodfellas. I'm going to plug that while I have the moment opportunity. Watch Goodfellas. Almost as a counterpoint to this, because Goodfellas takes place at the lowest levels of mafia society. And this one takes place at what might be what I think are probably the fantasy highest levels. But still a darn interesting film and worth your time. Next week we're looking at The Sting, another film crime related. And this is probably the era in movies when, because as I'm thinking back on all these Oscar winners, surprisingly few of them, unless they're war movies, very few of them have guns. And when you think about it now, and I'm not making a stand on this, this is just an observation, make of it what you will. Seems like a lot of movies have guns. It's almost impossible. Even comedies a lot of times have gunfire in them. And so I kind of wonder, if maybe The Godfather and The French Connection stuff, these were turning points where it started, writers started to say, hey, this is when we got, this is how we get excitement. People blowing each other away. I'll philosophize about that more in the future, I'm sure. Until then, I am Pete Pollock. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. Have a good week, everybody.